Let us pray. O God, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear what you are saying to us today. Amen.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis. I'll begin reading chapter 27, verses 1 to 4.
When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like to eat and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands with the smooth part of his neck with the goatskins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. And continuing with chapter 28, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Thanks be to God for his word.
Good morning. It is such a beautiful day out there. What did you notice when you got up this morning? What did you, I'm going to use a word, observe. What did you observe today?
I saw the sun.
The sunshine. You know what I noticed? The biggest, and it covers everything, the blue sky. Have you noticed the blue sky lately? It is so blue, yesterday and today. I don't think I saw any clouds yet in the sky this morning. The sun, the trees are just blowing a little bit. We observe that, right? And that's a word that Pastor is going to use today. In the story we heard in Sunday school, we heard about Isaac. Remember him from last week? He was a little boy with Abraham, right? This week he's an older man, and he has now two sons. Brothers, how many do you have in your family? It's just you, right?
Two.
Two? And you have a brother. Yeah. Emily is just you, right?
Emily has two sisters.
You have two sisters. And how about you, Hudson?
I have one brother.
You have a brother. That's right. Well, Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. They were both different. You don't look like your brother and sister, do you? Maybe a little bit, so we can say, oh yeah, that's your brother, but you're not exactly alike, right? Esau and Jacob were different too. Esau was rough and tough. He was a hunter. He had a lot of hair on his head. He had a beard, I think, hairy arms. He was strong. Jacob, I think, clean shaven, soft arms, like I used Brady today in Sunday school. And I said, feel how soft and smooth his arms are. Now feel mine. What do you feel? Some hair, right? It's not the same. They were going to go see their father, right? We heard that in the scripture just now. Isaac called his son Esau because he was the oldest. He was going to give him a blessing. But Jacob went in dressed up like him. What did he do to fool his father? What did he have to do? He couldn't just go in and say, hi, I'm Esau. What did he do, Brady?
He ran away, I think.
He put hair on, right? He put some goat skin, right? Because that's very furry and hair on it. And he put some on his arms. And Isaac couldn't see very good, so he fooled him. Wasn't a nice thing to do, though, was it? No, because what happened, Isaac blessed him, and that was a blessing he was supposed to give to Esau. So really, Jacob was stealing that blessing, and stealing is not right, right? What is stealing? That's taking something that doesn't belong to you, right? We don't want to do that. Anyway, Esau got mad when he found out Jacob got the blessing instead of him. So Jacob left. He traveled far, and they don't have cars and buses and airplanes. He had to walk to where he was going. So he got very tired. And Brady, what did he do when he got to that one place?
Find a flat rock.
He found a flat rock so he could lay down and rest, and he fell asleep. And what did we say you do when you sleep sometimes? What do you do?
Dream.
Your dream. Do you remember your dreams all the time? Sometimes I can wake up and go, oh, I must have been dreaming. And other times I go, oh, it was so real. I felt like I was awake in that dream. And I can tell you everything that happened in that dream. And sometimes I can fall asleep the next night, and maybe because it's in my head, I'll continue that dream. Anyway, Jacob fell asleep into a deep sleep. He had a dream that God sent him, a special dream. And the dream was a ladder came out of heaven, out of the clouds, reached all the way to the ground, right? And what was on the ladder? Angels were going up and down. And while the angels were going up and down from heaven to earth, God spoke to Jacob and he told him that he was going to bless him. He was going to make him a father of all the lands. He was going to have a lot of children, right? And that they would multiply and be the families all over the world. So the main thing we have to remember, that's a lot of stuff we covered. The one thing we have to remember is we have to observe these things we read. And what do we do when we observe the sky and the sun today? What did we use? We used our eyes. And if you stand outside in the shade, you feel cool. But if you step in the sun, you feel the warmth of the sun. So it's feeling, right? And we felt Brady's skin was smooth, so you touch. So it's eyes and touching, smelling sometimes, like a perfume. So I have a couple things here I'm gonna put you, I'm sorry if I'm taking too long. I have two things here. You feel them. Okay, now feel that one. You want to feel it too? Yeah, you want to feel that one? Just rub your hand on it. What do you feel?
I feel different.
Yeah. Okay, now, one is rough and one is smooth, just like the skin on Esau and Jacob. And you just touched it and looked at it to observe that. And you have bones in your legs, that's right. So we have to remember when we observe things around us, not just things like this, but we have to observe the world that God has given us. He created the world. We learned that in Sunday school the other week, right? We have to observe things around us so that we can remember God put us here for a special reason. And the reason is to worship him, to praise him for the beautiful things he gives us, for our lives, for our families, our moms and dads, brothers and sisters. And we have to remember, what was the verse we remembered in Sunday school? That we have to know that God is with us, and with us where? Everywhere, right? That was the one thing he told Jacob in his dream, that he was with him everywhere he goes. Right there in that plain spot with the rock for a pillow, or someplace in the mountain. And what other places do we go? Where do we go, you said? School?
Sometimes schools.
Playing?
The beach.
The beach. Do you know any other place? Where else do you go?
Vacation.
Vacation. And you know what? God is with you in all those places. So we have to remember to see the things around us, because those are the things that remind us of God and that he is with us. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us our senses that we can see and smell and hear and touch, so that we can remember you, observe the beauty you give us, our lives. Help us to remember that you are with us always, wherever we go, and that you love us very much and forgive us for the things we do wrong. Help us to love one another, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up.
At my house, whenever we watch a movie with the kids, often our daughter Holland will ask a question. Who's the main character in the movie? Who was the main character? Now, for some movies, it's, you know, pretty obvious, right? You know, if the name of a character is in the title of the movie, chances are that is going to be the main character. Although, there are certain notable exceptions, you know, The Wizard of Oz. The wizard is not actually the main character, although maybe he is. Yeah, philosophical conundrum for us to tackle some other time. But when we think about stories like our story today with so many different people, Holland's question comes up, and it's an interesting one for us to get into. Who is the main character in the story? The story goes something like this. Last week, we heard about Abraham, who is the father of the Jewish faith, and actually, interestingly enough, the father of the Muslim faith as well. And Abraham is told by God to take his son, Isaac, the child of the promise, and to take him up a mountain and to sacrifice him. Long story short, God stops him from doing it, but Abraham's faithfulness is credited to him as righteousness, is something that the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament tells us. So that's kind of where our story ended last week. In between last week's reading and what Andrew read for us this morning, Isaac grows up. And remember when I said that Abraham and Sarah had left Abraham's family behind to travel to a new place? Well, Sarah decided that she didn't like any of the women in their village for Isaac to marry. You know, you could insert like some like mother-in-law joke here probably if you wanted to, but there was no suitable wife there for her only son, Isaac. And so she sent a servant way back to the land that they had come from, to where all of their other extended family members were, and he found this beautiful woman, Rebecca, and sort of did some testing and agreed. They brought her back, Rebecca, back to the place where Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac were. They get married. Abraham and Sarah both die. Isaac and Rebecca get pregnant, and Rebecca gives birth to twins. Twin boys. Esau and Jacob. Now, when Rebecca is pregnant, there is a prophecy that comes to them that, contrary to the popular cultural traditions of that time, the younger of the twins was going to rule over the older, which is the reverse of what the cultural norms were for that time. The firstborn son in what becomes Israelite society, what is true in almost any society. The firstborn son is the one who is given all of the privileges and all of the responsibilities of being the head of the household after the parents have died. But the prophecy is that Jacob is actually going to be the one who is going to rule over Esau. And just so that we are reminded of what that prophecy is, when the two are born, Esau is born first. But as Rebecca is giving birth, you know, I imagine, you know, some kind of, well, I don't know if you want to imagine this or not, but I just think that, you know, as Esau comes out, there's a little hand that has a hold of like the bottom of his leg, like at his heel, that I imagine is trying to pull him back in. And that is Jacob, which Jacob in Hebrew means cheater or deceiver. What a nice name to give to a child, you know? This one, you know, Esau probably means like hairy, because he apparently was a hairy kid even from the time he was born, had this thick red hair, whereas Jacob they named deceiver or cheater, and he's the one who grasps the heel grasper, technically, you know, which is a euphemism for cheating. So anyway, they're born, they grow up, and one day Esau, of course, the two kids couldn't be any different, which I don't know any twins that are like that, where two kids could be as different as can be. But in this case, they really are. Esau is this, you know, art of manliness, manly man. You know, he's hairy and he's a hunter and he goes out and he kills stuff and he drags it home and he cooks it. You know, he's just like this man, right? And then there's Jacob. Jacob is smooth-skinned, and he's more into art and movies. You know, he's more of like he's sort of the liberal arts. He's like the English major, you know, if you will. So you have these two real contrasts, you know, and one day, well, Esau, he comes home from the hunt, and he's just starving, and Jacob has, you know, been working out a culinary masterpiece, no doubt, all day, a delicious lentil stew. And Esau says, I'm famished, I'm so hungry, give me some of that stew. Jacob, you can just imagine, you know, stirring the pot, literally, saying, want some of this? How about you sell me your birthright? We'll do an even trade. Your birthright, all of your rights as the firstborn son for a bowl of my soup. There are economic things at stake. There are societal things at stake. There are familial things at stake. Like, this is everything for a bowl of soup. And Esau says, deal. They trade. Now, Jacob is the holder of the birthright. A lot of time passes, I think, between this little vignette and the next one, which is Isaac on his deathbed, and this is where we come to our story for today. Isaac, his eyesight is gone, he's old. He wants to pass along a blessing to the holder of the birthright. So it's sort of two things that go together. The birthright is sort of the societal thing that everyone sees as the standing in the society. The blessing is a prayer of blessing, of God's blessing on that firstborn son, that they will be prosperous and make the family proud. So I wonder, you know, maybe Jacob and Esau didn't tell their parents about this transaction, because Isaac calls not for Jacob, but for Esau to come. He says, prepare me a meal and bring it back, you know, my favorite meal, something tasty, something I like, something from, you know, that you've gone out and killed and dragged home, just like you always do. Did I mention that Esau is Isaac's favorite? And so he does. He sets out, and meanwhile, Rebecca, it's like, you know, Days of Our Lives or something. Rebecca has been, you know, sitting outside listening to this. She goes to Jacob and says, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to wear this smelly goat skin, and you're going to, I've made your father's favorite meal. You're going to take it to him, and you're going to pretend to be your brother so that you can receive the blessing. Don't you love families? I mean, they really do put the fun in dysfunctional, don't they? So this is exactly what happens. And this scene, it's farcical almost. You know, you would almost imagine this coming out of some kind of like, you know, Neil Simon play or something like that, you know, like The Odd Couple or something. And so this strangely dressed Jacob goes in and presents his father with this meal. And Isaac is amazed that his son Esau has such hunting prowess that all of this has happened so quickly. You know, not only has he gone out and killed the thing so quickly, but he's also able to bring it back and prepare it so quickly. And he walks in, and Jacob says, and I'm not sure if he's disguising his voice or not here, but he says, Father, here is, I've prepared your favorite meal. And Isaac says, who are you? Who is this? His senses are in conflict. His ears hear Jacob, but his nose and his fingers feel the smell of goats. Esau. What a catch he must have been. So Isaac, he tastes the food, he tastes his favorite meal. So again, his taste buds are telling him that this is Esau. And finally, he's convinced, he gives his brother, or he gives his son, Jacob, the blessing. So now Jacob has the birthright, he has the blessing. He is now officially the firstborn son. Meanwhile, Esau, in the part of the story we didn't read this morning, Esau comes back from the hunt. He, you know, he's sweaty, he's making this food, and he goes to his father and says, Father, I've worked all day for this, I've put it all together in the way that you love. And Isaac says, who are you? He says, it's me, your son Esau. And this time, all of his senses match. His ears, his nose, his touch, his taste buds, they're all matching up. And he realizes that he's made a mistake, but you can only give one blessing, apparently. I don't understand the social conventions of the ancient Near East, but this is just something that happens. It's the reality of the fact. So Esau takes it well, I would say, and says, I'm going to kill him. And something tells me that when someone the size and with the sort of personality of Esau says that he's going to kill someone, he's not going to, you know, poison him or something like that. No, he's probably going to rip his arms off and beat him to death with them. Like, this is the kind of guy that he is. And Rebekah says to Jacob, you have to flee, you have to go. And so Jacob, he does. He gathers things up and he runs away. He runs away from home. An outcast, away from his family. So he has the birthright, he has the blessing, but he doesn't get to be in the community where those things are recognized. Who's the hero of our story so far? Is there one? Yes. Is there a story? Is there a hero to our story? Everyone is sort of guilty in some way here, right? I mean, Esau is foolish. Isaac is old and not able to really do the things that he needs to do. Rebecca is conniving. Jacob is willing to go along with it. Like, everyone has flaws. And that's a really important thing to point out, just as like a 10-second sidebar, is that when you read the Bible, there are no perfect people except for Jesus. There are hardly any heroes, right? They all mess up. They all have their flaws. They are all just like you and me. They have their good stuff. They have their bad stuff. They have their high points. They have their low points. They have their celebrations. They have their flaws. They are us. This is our story. So Jacob has run away. He can't go any farther. He's tired. He gets to a certain place, the Bible tells us. Which anytime you see that kind of a phrase, a certain place, or a certain man, or something along those lines, you should pay attention because something is about to happen. Jacob gets to a certain place and he lays his head down on a rock and goes to sleep. And he dreams. And in his dream, there is a ladder extending up to heaven. And there are angels going up, and there are angels going down. And the Lord, Yahweh, the one true God, the God of his grandfather Abraham, the God of his father Isaac, speaks to him and confirms the blessing that Isaac has given to him. And he's so deserving of that blessing, isn't he? He's done everything right up to this point, right? No. He's tricked his father. He's tricked his brother. You know, he's running away from home. He's a coward, all these kinds of things, right? He doesn't sit and take what's coming to him, but instead he runs as fast as he can in the other direction. And this is the guy that God decides to pin all of his hopes on? Jacob, the deceiver, the heel grasper, the cheater, is God's chosen. The youngest son. And Jacob, he wakes up from his dream, claims ownership of the ladder, I guess, because we always sing about Jacob's ladder. We don't sing God's ladder, so. And then says, this place is the house of God, Bethel. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. Surely this is the house of God. He's terrified. But the northern kingdom of Israel makes this place its capital city. There's a temple that gets built here. Like, this is the focal point for the northern kingdom from basically this point forward. So there's great importance placed on this. So, who's the main character in the story? Is it Jacob? Is it Isaac? Rebecca? Esau? Who's the main character? Who's the one acting in the story? Anyone? When in doubt, when you're in church, the answer is God. That's right. And it's true at this point. And Jacob, in a dream, when his guard is finally let down, he observes the thing that he is unable to see when he's awake, which is that God has been with him this whole time. strangely using this kind of soap opera course of events to bring Jacob to a certain place where he will have an encounter with God. And it's not easy for Jacob. In fact, a little while after that, there's word that Isaac, his father, has actually died, and there's going to be a funeral. And Esau is going to be there. And Jacob decides that he's going to go back, but he's wrestling with this and wrestling with this. And on his way, he comes to this river and sends his family and all of his possessions because he's prospered the way that the blessing has promised he would. And he wrestles with someone on the banks of the river all night long, and finally receives a blessing from this person too. And his name changes. You shall no longer be Jacob, deceiver. You shall be Israel, one who wrestles with God, one who struggles with God. And Israel goes and is reconciled with his brother so many years later. He sends herds and he sends gifts ahead of him to try and butter his brother up, and his brother says, I don't need all of that stuff. I'm your brother. And there's grace. And there's grace in the story, because although we don't get Esau's journey, God has probably been at work in his life too. Because in truth, God is at work in every page of the Bible. And if their story is our story, then it's true that God is at work in every page of our story as well. And so often we go through our lives ignorant of that fact. We don't see God's presence. So often, in fact, we come to sort of a point in our lives where we turn around and we look back, and that's where we see God at work. We see that circumstances were such that we have been led to the point where we are at, and we couldn't possibly have gotten there without God's presence. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. The good news for us today is that God is the main character in our stories too. That God is present in our lives. That God is faithful, as we heard about last week. That God's faithfulness is such that we're never abandoned. Even when we do bad things. Even when bad things happen to us, God is present with us there every single step of the way. And so it's a good thing for us, I think, from time to time, to step outside of our busy lives, which are often so consumed with our own worries and our own cares, to be reminded that we are not actually at the center of our own lives, but God is at the center. And to observe those ways that God has been faithful to us. It's an exercise that is fruitful in that it strengthens our faith and it reminds us of those times, right? It's like that over-marketed picture of the footprints along the sea, right? Where there are two sets of footprints and then sometimes there's just one, you know, as sort of cheesy and trite as that can sometimes be. It's true that God is with us. Surely the Lord is in our lives. If we take the time to observe and believe. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for this way that you have been working in our lives and for the promise that we have that you will continue to be with us always, even to the end of the age. We pray for reminders along the way, for signposts, directions that will remind us of that. And we pray for opportunities to quiet ourselves, quiet our minds, quiet the busyness of our lives, to observe your work in your presence, in our lives and in the lives of those that we know and love. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.